All right, good morning, Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Kron. So we are on Yud Tes Amud Aleph. So just to orient ourselves, over the last number of weeks, we've been talking about things related to the concept of Pesha Aser Hu Shehiter, basically that if there is information that is only being available by virtue of someone sharing that information, that then gives them potentially the right to use the status that they provided that information to kind of disqualify something or to provide some other factor in their favor. And where we went last week was there was a new Mishnah that talked about the case of a shtar of a loan. And when there's a shtar of a loan, typically when it was brought to Bezdin would have three ways of certifying the validity of the shtar. Number one is if the witnesses on the shtar themselves came to court and says, yes, we signed this. Number two is if some other parties came in and says, yes, we recognize these signatures, that they belong to these witnesses and they're valid. And number three is they would compare those signatures to another certified document and say, yes, these look the same, and therefore we could certify the signatures. And what we talked about in the Mishnah was a case where the witnesses, it's the first scenario where the witnesses themselves come to court and they testify about their signatures, but they add in some other information, such as they say that, yes, we signed it, but we were too young, we were forced, we were ineligible witnesses. So the question becomes, do we then apply the concept of HaPesha Aser because they brought the information in, do we allow them to therefore disqualify themselves or not? And some of the reasons that we said that they're not would be either that there's another concept around once you give a testimony, you can't modify that testimony, or there's also a concept that people can self-incriminate themselves. So there are a bunch of back and forth on that view. So what we're picking up now is the word gufa. It's about 13 lines or so down from the top on Yud Tes Amud Aleph. What we had just said when we ended last time was this view that perhaps what we're talking about here is a case where the person who that the borrower in this case admits that he wrote the shtar. So therefore we ended off last week by saying mod b'shtar shekasva ein tzarich l'kaimo, that if someone is if the borrower admits that he writes the shtar, you don't therefore need to have it certified, because if the guy admits that he wrote it, that should in theory be good enough according to this opinion. So speaking on that same opinion, gufa.
You're 13 lines down from the top.
I am around
13. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, approximately. It says gufa. First word on the line is l'kaimo. I don't know if it's exactly there. 3, 6, 9. Maybe 12 lines. Okay, gufa. Gufa, yes. Gufa. I'm Rav Huna, I'm a Rav. So Rav Huna says the name of Rav. Mode b'shtar shekasvu ein tzarich l'kaimo. You know, this is what we just said, that if someone, the borrower admits that he wrote the shtar, there's no need to have it certified. Amalei Rav Nachman, but Rav Nachman pushes on him and says, gunva gnive lamalei, why do you make believe this is your own ruling when we just learned above that this is Isfarle Karabi Meir. We just learned above that this is a machlokas where this is the opinion of Rav Meir. Why do you make believe that it's like this new concept that you're bringing up when it's really just the same thing that Rav Meir said, a halacha Karabi Meir? Just say, according to me, the halacha is like Rav Meir.
Meaning that the person who wrote the shtar,
the concept, right, to the person who is the borrower wrote the shtar, and he says, yes, I wrote this shtar, that's good enough. You don't need to certify the witnesses, because by virtue, if you didn't really borrow money, why would you have written a shtar? Right, that's the underlying theory according to Rabbi Meir, right?
Yeah.
So Rav Huna answers, Amalei, he says to Rav Nachman, Umar Hechi Sfirale, how do you hold in this? Would you follow Rav Meir or would you not? So Rav Nachman answers, Amalei, when people come to us for this type of court, go get the document certified. In other words, he doesn't accept this opinion. This is a unique opinion of Rabbi Meir that he doesn't follow. He, in his bezin, they would require the documents to be certified, to have the signature certified using one of the three methods that we talked about. Amrav Huda Amrav, this is something slightly different. Ha'omer, but if someone says about this shtar, shtar amana huza, this is a shtar amana. What is a shtar amana? A shtar amana is where person A and person B create a shtar, and they have the shtar signed, but no loan actually happened. What they're doing is they're saying, you know, there's going to come a point when I want to borrow money from you, and I want to be able to do it rapid fire. I want to be able to call you on Friday afternoon, and you transfer the money to me, and I don't have to worry about a shtar. So I want to have a shtar signed, sealed, and delivered as if you provided me a loan, but the loan didn't really happen yet. So it's called a shtar of money. It's like it literally means a shtar of trust. So therefore, by saying that, he's saying that, yeah, it was only the shtar amana, the loan never really happened. So when we say, eino neman, so here we say, he is not believed. So now the question is, who is the he that we're talking about here? The ka'amar khan, so who are we talking about? Ilema, the ka'amar lo, are we saying that it's the borrower who is saying that it's a shtar amana? So he's the one who borrowed the money. Pshita, obviously you're not going to believe him, because if you have this disagreement going on between the borrower and the lender, the borrower is going to clearly saying it didn't happen. So there's no reason to rely on the borrower. Kol kibine, is it really in his power to say that this isn't a valid document? So therefore, is it really so obvious? Like what's the so what about saying that the borrower would say this and you don't believe him? Obviously you don't believe him. The Ella the Kamra Malva, maybe we're talking about the lender. So the lender is saying this is a shtar amana. If that's the case, Tavola Bracha. So if the lender is saying, yeah, well, you know, the loan never really happened, you know, that's a good thing, right? He's saying, yeah, I have this document is really here, but the loan never really happened. He's admitting that there was no loan, so there's nothing special. You know, that doesn't seem to make sense. Ella the Kamri Aiden, maybe what we're talking about are the witnesses. That the witnesses are the ones who said this star was a shtar amana. And maybe what we're talking about here is therefore this is another case of a Pesha Asa Ushita, right? That the witnesses said that maybe if the witnesses are the ones who said that they signed it, therefore maybe they have the right to say yes, but it's also a shtar amana, and we're saying no, we don't believe them. E diksav yadam, yotzi b'makom acher. But if we're talking about a case where their signatures could be verified from another source. In other words, it's not them bringing new information. It's verified from somewhere else. Pshita d'lamahamin. You wouldn't believe them. You wouldn't believe them because they're not. It's not like it's hapesha aser she'it. There's someone, another source is certifying this document. They say, yeah, but it was a shtar amana. You don't believe them. There's no reason to believe them. V'id ein ksav yadam yasav makam acher. But if it's a case where there's no other way of knowing and certifying this document other than them certifying their own signatures, Amayla Mahamne. Why wouldn't you believe them, right? Maybe that should be Hapesha Aser, and therefore you would believe them. So now we have the Simen Bash. Simen Bash refers to the fact that we're going to have three opinions or three statements to clarify who we're talking about. The Beis stands for Rava, the Aleph stands for Rabbi, the Shin stands for Rav Ashi. So first we're going to start with Rava. Amar Rava, La'olam deka'amar lova. That what we're definitely talking about here is a case where it's the borrower who says it. Ukid Rav Huna. And his ruling follows what we just said, that what Rav Huna said, that Rav Meir said. The Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Mod B'Shtar Shekasvo, Ein Tzarech L'Kaimo. That if the borrower admits that he wrote the document, you don't need to have it certified. So by virtue of the borrower admitting that he wrote the document, we're just saying, yes, we believe him that he wrote the document, therefore it does not need to be certified. And we also don't believe him that it is a shtar amana because he's the borrower.
So we believe him that he wrote the document.
If he says, I wrote the shtar, this was the opinion we started with, right? If he says, I wrote the shtar that I borrowed money,
right?
You don't need to have it certified, right? So therefore, you don't need to have it certified, right? It's based upon what he's saying. He's bringing up the fact. So you might think that this is because of his admission that he wrote the document, but you don't do that because he's the borrower. And it's a dispute between the borrower and the lender here.
Okay.
Abaye Omer, Olam D'Arba Malder. No, what we're talking about here is the lender, right? So we said earlier, if the lender if the lender says it's a shtar amana, he's admitting it, there wasn't a loan. So why wouldn't we believe him, right? So we just said we don't believe him. Why wouldn't we believe him? The answer is, gugon shechav l'achirim. This is a case where he lent money to person A, but he also borrowed money from our person here, from someone else. And what happens is, the Rabbi Nasan, this follows the opinion of Rabbi Nasan, the Tanya, we learned in the Berei, so Rabbi Nasan Omer, minayin l'nosel l'chavero mana, the chavero b'chavero. So you have a person who borrows money from A and lends money to B. So you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, right? Shimon borrows money from Reuven, $100 from Reuven, and he also lends money to Levi. So Shimon owes Levi $100, and Reuven owes Shimon $100. So in that case, Levi is allowed to skip the middleman or be directed to skip the middleman and go collect directly from Reuven. Right, because A owes B and B owes C, you can go directly A to C. How do we know this? We know the chaver amana, the chaver bechaver, that you're allowed to do this. Be nine shemosi mizev nosel is that you're allowed to collect from party one is allowed to collect from party three. Tamalam or titan lasher ashamlo. You can give it to the person who's guilty. In our case, that proves out that you are allowed to go from A to C. So therefore, if the Lova, it's not that he's the innocent party and we say Tavo Lov Bracha, he's basically messing up the other guy by saying that this loan didn't really happen, right? So that person, in theory, would therefore have the ability to collect from the first guy. If the guy says that loan isn't a valid loan, that never happened, he loses that right. So that's what he says. Rav Ashi Amar Le'olam Dekamer Edim. Clearly, we're talking about where the witnesses are the ones who says that it was a shtar amana, udix ein ksav yadam hu makom acher, and we're talking about a case where the document can't be certified from somewhere else. It's only based upon their testimony. Udik amri amai lo hamine, and therefore we're saying why aren't they believed? Right? Why not? The Rav Kahana. This follows it. Rav Kahana. The Amr Rav Kahana. Asal la adam yishe shtar amana b'sof beso. You're not allowed to have a shtar amana, this trust document, in your house. Mishum shenemar, v'al tishkon b'holecha avla. You're not allowed to have an avla in your house. An avla means an injustice. So bottom line is what this is implying is that the whole concept of having a shtar amana is an injustice. Why is it an injustice? Because who knows what happens? And as a result, there's this document floating around. The document floating around implies there was a loan that never happened. It's basically false, right? It never really happened. So therefore, it's an injustice to keep that lying around. So therefore, the Edim that are testifying, they shouldn't be having be involved with a shtar amana. For Amar of Sheshes, I'm going to Daf Beis. Amar of Sheshes, Berei Derav Edi, Shema Mina Derav Kahana, he says the name of Rav Kahana, Edim Sha'amru Amana Hayu Dvarenu. If witnesses say that we were signing on a shtar amana, ein anem on him, they are not believed. Why? My taima came unto avlahi, since it's considered an avla to have a shtar amana, it's considered an injustice. Avla lo chasme. Why would they sign a document that was considered an avla? And that's considered being self-incriminating, right? They're saying they signed on something that's considered an avla, right? So therefore, they're not believed because basically this is the concept where they're self-incriminating. So bottom line is that shtar amana is viewed as a negative thing, and therefore the witnesses wouldn't be believed in their case also. So you have three different views about who we're talking about when we're saying they're not believed. Is it the borrower, is it the lender, or is it the witnesses?
I have a question. This document, what's
it called? Shtar amana, yes.
The last opinion is saying, reputation says it's like a bad thing.
It's a bad thing.
But it's a loan it's a star that's there in case I want to borrow. I didn't actually.
You didn't
actually,
borrow, right?
Borrowed, right?
It's like it's an executed loan document,
right,
where there was no loan done.
Now, if later on, but it states like Reuven borrowed
$100 from Shimon. It says Reuven borrowed $100 from Shimon and it was signed off, yes.
Right, so it sort of represents itself as if it happened already.
Correct.
It didn't really transact.
It did not happen.
It didn't happen, right?
Right.
But that's bad.
That's bad because because that document is floating around the witness's house. All the parties die, and 100 years later, someone finds this and says, "Oh, this is a claim that should have happened." However, okay. So now continuing on, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Aslo la'adam sheyiv shtar parua b'sof beiso. So we talked about a shtar amana. We have this pasuk that we're talking about this as being an avla, right? So we said this also not allowed to what's called a shtar parua in your house. A shtar parua is a loan that's been paid off. So if person A borrows money from person B, the person B is the lender. He's not supposed to hold on to that shtar after it's paid off. Mishum shenemar al tishka bolecha ava. Quoting the same pasuk. Now let have an ava. So what he's doing is he's keeping a document that says that this loan is still alive, even though the loan has been paid off. You know, similar reason, right? 30 years later, all the parties have moved on, and you find this document, and you might think that this loan is still valid. The Marava in Eretz Yisrael Mishmei the Rav Army, they say the name of Rav, im avein biyad chaharkikiyu. If there is perversion in your hand, put it away. What is that talking about? Ze ashtar amana ushtar pasim. This talks about ashtar amana and ashtar pasim. So what's ashtar pasim? Ashtar pasim is where person A writes a document for person B that says, I borrowed $100 million from person B. And the whole point of this is so that that guy can show off that document to show that, yeah, I'm so wealthy because I lent $100 million to this other person. Again, it's a loan that never happened. It's really only there to allow the person to do something significant.
Is that like a ketonus pasim? Is that the same word, pasim?
Pasim means persuasion in this case. Pasim in that case meant multicolored, right? I don't know if it's the same thing.
A different word, right? Never mind.
So, Val Tishkon Balecha Avla. So that talks about Im Avin Biyacha Kikeo. That talks about a shtar amana and a shtar pasim. And what the pasik we quoted, Val Tishkon Balecha Avla, when it used the word Avla, it was talking about Zeh Shtar Parua. That's talking about the document that's paid off. So potentially there are different sukkim that speak to which thing we're talking about. Man da Amar Shtar Parua. The one that says that the word Avla talks about a Shtar Parua, one that's paid off. Kol Shekain Shtar Amana, would certainly also agree that a document that's a Shtar Amana is in the same category, because a paid off document at least was a loan that actually happened. The Shtar Amana is a level worse because it's a loan that never happened. Uman da Amar Shtar Amana, but the one who says the Shtar Amana is what we're talking about. We say Avla, Aval Shtar Parua Lo. He would not say a shtar parua would apply, because why is a shtar parua really is an injustice? Maybe a shtar parua isn't just completely falsehood. Why? Dizmanim dimashihili ifshiti disafra. Because sometimes here's what happens, right? Person A loans money to person B, and it gets paid back. But there's one little piece that's missing. Someone has to pay the sofer who wrote the shtar. And the borrower is supposed to pay the sofer who wrote the shtar. So he owed the person $100, and he had $100, but he was missing the $18 that he's supposed to pay the sofer. So until he pays the sofer, the guy says, you know what, I'm going to hold on to this document until you go and pay the sofer. So the loan is paid off, but the debt to the sofer still exists. So there is still some element of the loan that's actually legitimate. Itamar, we also learned. Sefer She'eno Muge. This is just a similar thing that's related to the same pasuk. Sefer She'eno Muguda. So if you have a book of Torah or Nevi'im that has errors in it, Amarabi Ami Ashloshim Yom Muta Lishahoso. Up to 30 days you can keep it. Mikan ve'elech Aser Lishoso. After that, you're not allowed to keep it. Why? Mishim Shenemar. Al tishkon ba'olecha avla. Same pasuk. Now have to have an avla in your house. So if you happen to have, someone has, according to this, if there was a Sefer Torah, for example, that had a mistake in it, you would need to correct it within 30 days. Because otherwise you have a Sefer Torah that has that's incorrect, that people are going to say is therefore correct. So this is just a tangent using the same pasuk. Amar Rav Nachman, Edim Sha'amru Amana Hayu Dvarim. But if the Edim come and they say that we signed a Shtar Amana, Einon Amanim, they're not believed. Modana Hayu Dvarim. But if they said that what we're talking about here is a case where person A is selling to person B, and the seller says, I do not want to sell this. I am being forced to sell it. So that's like an inappropriate sale, right? So they signed the document, but they say the guy told us when he was selling his field that he was doing it under duress. He didn't want to do it. Ain't a nem on him, they're not believed. Different opinion. Mara Varavashi Amar, he says, Amana hayud vareinu ain't a nem on him. If they say it's an amana, they're not believed. Modana hayud vareinu ne'amana. But if they say that it was an amana where the guy says, I'm being forced to do it, they are believed. My time, and why are they believed? Hai nisali kasev. That what happens here is you have this guy that's going to beat up the other guy if he doesn't sell him his field. And they're trying to help the guy out, because if the guy's going to get beat up if he doesn't sell his field, and therefore he's selling his field, so they're allowing it to be documented that this happened. And therefore, it's an actual sale that happened, and they're helping the guy out by allowing it to be sold, and therefore they're believed to say, by the way, this also happened. Hi, Nisali Kasev. They're allowed to have signed this note because the guy would have been murdered otherwise. So therefore, they didn't do anything wrong. The high on Nisali Kasev, but they should not have signed a Shtar Amana, because a Shtar Amana is something that should not be allowed. It's considered an avla. And therefore, they would not be believed when it comes to a Shtar Amana. So with this, we'll pause. I will pick up again tomorrow. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.